Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. This Mishnah will talk about the impact of Shabbat and the holidays on the mourning period of the Shiva and the Shloshim, like we learned in the last Mishnah. How do these laws apply to Shavuot nowadays, as well as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishihara Bet HaMikdash, Aseret Kashabbat. Rabbi Eliezer says, since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Shavuot is treated with Avelut, like a regular Shabbat, which means it counts as part of the Shiva, and it does not cancel it out. We say nowadays we're talking because Shavuot is only one day long, it's not considered to be like the other Regalim of Pesach and Sukkot. The times of the Beit HaMikdash, it was considered to be similar to them because they had Korbanot, they had the different Korban Hagigah, the Olat Re'iyah, as we'll learn in Masechet Hagigah, that would continue for a 7-day period even after Shavuot was over. So therefore, since in some way Shavuot was like Sukkot and Pesach, as it was longer in the aspect of the Korbanot, we treated it like a regular 7-day holiday in terms of canceling the Avelut. But once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and there's no more Korbanot being brought, we say that Shavuot is a 1-day holiday and therefore it is similar to a Shabbat. It does not cancel the Shiva, and it actually counts towards the Shiva. The reason that Rabbi Eliezer, his logic behind all of this would be that if a holiday is 7 days long, it would cancel out the entire Shiva. So there's no reason to count it as part of the Shiva, because once we continue to count it, automatically it's going to be over. So therefore, that's the logic of Rabbi Eliezer, why we don't count the holidays towards the Shiva, because again, an entire Shiva would pass and the laws wouldn't be observed because we don't have any concept of Avelut on Yom Tov, because Simha, Yom Tov is a time of happiness, a time of Simha. So therefore, since it's a 7-day holiday, it becomes irrelevant. Nothing would happen if you were to observe it on that day, because if that day counted, because you're not allowed to have any Avelut on the holiday. But when it comes to a 1-day holiday, like Shavuot, we don't really have that. A person would go through the 1-day holiday of Shavuot, and then right afterwards, he'd be back into the laws of Avelut. So therefore, says over here, Rabbi Eliezer, that we treat the idea of Shavuot similar to Shabbat, because even though it's Yom Tov, you'll get through that 1 day, you won't do anything, you'll count it like a regular day, and then you'll go right back to the laws. Not like Pesach and Sukkot, where you'll never go back to the laws, because if you count it, the seven days go by, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabban Gamliel omer, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim karegalim. According to Rabban Gamliel, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and obviously Shavuot, which is an actual regel, are treated like Pesach and Sukkot, and that they cancel out the periods of Avelut, and they do not count towards them whatsoever. Rabban Gamliel would say that there's a difference between Shabbat and the regular holidays, and something to do with how long they are, but by the fact that when it comes to the holidays, there's no allowance for Avelut whatsoever, as opposed to Shabbat, where there is allowance for Avelut that is private, since the laws of Avelut cannot be kept on a holiday whatsoever. We can't count it towards the Shiva, bottom line. I don't care what type of holiday it is or how long it is. But when it comes to Shabbat, since we do have some sort of halachic relationship to Avelut on Shabbat, it's kept in private, so we do count it towards the Minyan Shiva, to the number 7 that we're trying to reach when it comes to Shiva. And that's the understanding of Rabban Gamliel, that all of these holidays would cancel out the Shiva because they put a total stop to it, so I can't use it at all towards my count. It'll just be over. And that's the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. V'chamim omrim lo kedivrezeh v'lo kedivrezeh. The rabbis disagree with both of them. They don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, they don't hold like Rabban Gamliel. Ela aseret karegalim. Rather, they hold that when it comes to Shavuot, Shavuot's a time of happiness, time of simha, we treat it like all other holidays, even in our times when it's 1 day, and therefore we say it does not count towards the minyan shiva, but it is mafsikin, it does break up the shiva. And Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim kashabbat. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, not such a time of happiness, there's a little bit of anxiety, there's a little bit of time of din, a time of prayer and forgiveness, of teshuvah. We treat those days like a regular Shabbat, because at the end of the day, there's no commandment of simha in a strong way over there. So the rabbis agree with Rabban Gamliel that the difference between Shabbat and the holidays that we're talking about is that the holidays are a time of happiness, and therefore the laws of Avilut are not going to be observed on them. When on Shabbat, you do have some of the halachot, but the rabbis, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they understand that there's a difference between that and Shavuot. Shavuot, bottom line, is considered to be one of the regalim, one of the three regalim, and therefore we're going to treat it like all of the other regalim, which would mean it cancels Shiva. Even after the times of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, it would be no difference, even though it's one day holiday. It's considered to be part of that group, so therefore it cancels Shiva. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, though, are not part of this group of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So they don't have the status like that, therefore they are considered to be like a regular Shabbat. Masechet Mo'ed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. We just finished talking about how a holiday affects the Shiva and the Sheloshim. This Mishnah will talk about customs before and after burial, and how we engage with them on Chol HaMo'ed. Mishnah says, En Kur'in Belo holtzin ve'en mavrin ela kirovav shel mit. On Chol HaMo'ed, a person who is not part of the immediate family, not one of the seven kirovim, one of the seven family members, which would include somebody who lost a father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or spouse, only those people are allowed to do the following. They're allowed to tear their garment. They're allowed to bare their shoulder. There was a custom in those days to bare a shoulder when the burial was happening. At that time when you would walk with the funeral procession. Ve'en mavrin, also a serving the mourner's meal. You're not allowed to serve the mourner's meal to anybody but these people mentioned, who were the kirovav shel met, the immediate relatives of the person who passed away. And in those days, it would be customary for people who were even distant relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, to participate in kiri'ah, in tearing their shirt, tearing their garment, or other customs of avelut. But on Chol HaMo'ed, only the immediate relatives are allowed to do avelut, to do these customs or these halachot of avelut, because the people who are not obligated have to have the state of simha. They have to have the happiness that Chol HaMo'ed brings in, and they can't mess with that happiness. Ve'en mavrin ela al mitaze kufa. When the Se'udat Havara is served, the Se'udat Havara, which is the first meal that's served to the Avelim when they're mourning, it's brought by other people to show them that they care for them, to usually show them a little bit of camaraderie. Imo anochi besara. That is not allowed. You're not allowed to join them at the mourner's meal on Chol HaMo'ed when you're seated on an overturned couch. In those days, it was the custom to flip a couch or a bed and eat on that to show that you're not in a happy state. On Chol HaMo'ed, only the mourners themselves are allowed to be on that type of couch, like a regular weekday, but people who are joining them for the meal have to sit on a normal couch, on an upright couch. Only again, those mourners who are immediate relatives are allowed to sit on an overturned couch. Now we'll talk about other laws of Avilut that don't apply only on Chol HaMo'ed, but apply all year long. En molichin lebet ha'aveh, lo betavla, ve'lo be'iskutla, ve'lo be'kanon, ela basalim. When somebody's bringing food over for the se'uda over here, to the mourner's home, he's not allowed to bring it in an elegant tray or a silver bowl or a fancy basket, rather a sal, a very simple basket made of twigs. We do that, we make this takana, because we don't want it to turn into, if somebody has a lot of money, somebody's wealthy, they're going to bring it over in a very expensive tray, and then people who are of simple means are going to feel bad, and they're going to feel embarrassed, and they're going to be ashamed, they won't do the mitzvah. So we say everybody, no matter who you are, has to bring it over in a simple basket. We mentioned this halacha over here in this Mishnah in context of Chol HaMo'ed, because usually on Chol HaMo'ed, we don't want to appear publicly as people who are mourners. So we say, even here, where we usually would avoid public mourning, we want to make sure that we don't say, oh, it's a holiday, I can bring an elegant tray to the mourner's house. No matter what, even on Chol HaMo'ed, you're not allowed to bring that type of tray. Now we'll go back to the regular laws of Chol HaMo'ed. After they would return from the funeral with the mourners, everybody there who was there to console them would stand in the street, and one person would say a special beracha, Baruch Menachem Avelim. This is called the blessing of the mourners. We don't do this nowadays. Not the custom to say this blessing, no matter when it is. But this is talking about the times of the Mishnah. Ve'en omrim birkat avelim ba'moed. We don't say this beracha during Chol HaMoed. We don't want to show such a public display of avelut. Aval omdin bashura u'menachamin. But we do stand in a row and console the mourners. After the burial, the people who were there would walk past the mourners and they would offer them condolences. So that still could happen. Uputrin et harabim, and then we immediately dismiss everybody back home. After the consolation would happen, after they would give them the nehama, since the beracha is not happening, they wouldn't accompany them home like they usually would. Rather, they would say the condolences and they would go home right afterwards.